Breaking news. This is your World War III update. The price of gold hitting all-time record highs once again. But quite frankly, at this point, who gives a damn? Because Vladimir Putin has unveiled Russia's new nuclear doctrine, which is a clear-cut ultimatum to the West. But unfortunately, Vladimir Putin has made a big mistake. And this is what none of the channels are going to tell you. But I'm going to tell you, and it's not good. He has essentially given Ukraine the recipe. This is something he probably should have waited for. The reason why he did it now is because he knows they're probably planning something big, and this is a last-ditch attempt to try to save humanity. I don't think it's going to work. There's a reason why the Russians are sending out nuclear emergency instructions on their utility bills. They want to keep it low-key. They don't want to spook the population, and they want to keep their plans discreet, veiled, from the rest of the planet. They are preparing for a massive nuclear war. And that is evident today in a coordinated speech with Lukashenko, who also gave a similar speech. And Belarus now officially, they always were, but now officially comes under the nuclear umbrella. And Trump is getting ready to start a war with Iran. Now, we need to talk about this because here's what everybody's missing about Putin's speech. They've now effectively given Ukraine the exact recipe because here are the changes to the nuclear doctrine. Let's quickly listen to what they have to say.
Any non-nuclear state. In the updated version of the document, aggression against Russia by any non-nuclear state, but with the support of a nuclear state, is proposed to be considered as their joint attack on Russia. Russia will also consider the possibility of using nuclear weapons when receiving reliable information about a massive launch of means of aerospace attack and their crossing of our state border. This includes strategic and tactical aircraft, as well as cruise missiles and drones.
Okay, that's very important, guys. He's saying that it no longer matters because in the old doctrine, it was worded very vaguely and it was essentially relegated to the use of us using nuclear weapons against the Russians. Now it's been changed so that he's saying that any attack using drones or cruise missiles, which of course would encompass the Storm Shadow missiles that are being debated right now, or the JSOMs missiles that are being debated to be sent to Ukraine, which, as we know, have already, that decision has already been made according to the Russian intelligence themselves. They claim the decision has already been made on the low, and the first time the public is going to be made aware of it is when they actually fall on Russian targets, which could be any day now, likely after the UN General Assembly. Now, what he's saying is any large scale, he did emphasize that. He said large scale coordinated drone attack, presuming that that drone attack involves some aspect of NATO coordination, be it leveraging their intelligence and reconnaissance or using their actual weapons. If it involves that, it would be considered a joint attack and that would be grounds for a nuclear strike. Do people realize how serious this is? I mean, that's it in plain English. Now, the question is, why would Russia do this now? This is the question that everybody has to ask. Because right now, this is a very bad thing to do right now. If they thought it was actually going to work, then they would have done it a long time ago. There's something else behind this. I actually do think, by the despondent look on these officials' faces, that Russia has suffered as a result of these ammo depot attacks and that they know a bigger attack is coming. Now, in doing it now, they've essentially given Zelensky and NATO the blueprint on how they can escalate this conflict in order to provoke the Russians. Because we've long suspected that and this is just a theory, that the idea is that if Ukraine can provoke a response from the Russians, what would be considered overreach, basically what Israel is doing in the Middle East, if the Russians do that in Ukraine, then the world would act really shocked. Okay, they pull Karen, and that's when all the funding that Zelensky ever wanted, he would get, even though they've just earmarked another $8 billion for Ukraine today. $8 more billion dollars on top of everything else that's been given. Trust me, the Ukrainian project trumps the Israeli project. I know some people don't believe that, but it does. It's a bigger game. It's a bigger play. It's closer to China. Anyways, yes, oil matters to a certain degree, but the U.S., Canada, there's other places to get oil. So what Putin has now done is almost guaranteed that indeed now this red line is going to be overstepped. And then what? Then they're going to have to, because I don't think that the Russians are going to immediately resort to the use of a nuclear weapon, because there are still rungs up the escalation ladder. And all of this brings us closer to day X. Understand that. This is an act of desperation by Vladimir Putin. Yes, they're lighting it up in Ugledar. On the western Donbass, they are lighting it up. They're carpet bombing Ugledar, which is now the focal point of the attacks happening inside Ukraine, where a lot of people think most of this is what really matters on the front. But what really matters at this point in time is, why is Russia doing this now? Because if they actually believed it was going to work, they would have done it a long time ago. Ultimatums have never worked with NATO, ever once, period. The only thing that has worked from a Russian point of view is when they shot down that drone in the Black Sea. Most people don't even know about that. If you were watching this channel, if you're watching the OSINT, you have to be watching very closely. But there is a very high likelihood that the Global Hawk, RQ-4 Global Hawk that was flying in the Black Sea, that went missing or went off radar, it was probably shot down, and that was the message. NATO didn't want to admit it was shot down, because then, of course, they would have had to respond, which tells you that they don't necessarily want an escalation in that respect either. But they do, or at least elements within perhaps the Ukrainian government. I'm still torn as to whether or not the UK and the American plan and their handlers within Ukraine have different agendas. I don't think there's unanimity inside Ukraine in terms of what the grand agenda might be. Some people might say that the United States has a vested interest in destroying Nord Stream, making the Europeans more reliant on the US. Remember, the primary competitor to the US dollar is the euro. The euro has somewhere between 15 to 20% of the global reserve currency status. So if they can knock the euro out with a massive nuclear war with Russia and Europe, then the United States can reign supreme, give the dollar as the global reserve currency another breath of life for at least a few more years, and take Europe out of the equation. Russia has made it abundantly clear that they don't believe that is going to happen, that when they respond, they're going to hold the handlers accountable. But there appear to be two camps. There's the Boris Johnson going to Kiev to try to compel them and spur them forward camp to keep fighting the Russians, and then there's the Anthony Blinken camp. Both seem to be working towards the same ends, but perhaps there's differences in terms of strategy. And of course, the UK has to weigh their interests against the United States' interests. They can't believe entirely that the United States is going to come to their assistance if they get nuked. If Europe starts taking shots, and is the United States going to honor their commitment to NATO in the form of using nuclear weapons, when perhaps they don't necessarily have to? They could theoretically just sit it out and call for de-escalation. They control the media, so they can make it happen. Okay, they could make people say, okay, well, maybe this is a good idea that we sit this one out. It could happen. However, I don't think that's going to happen. I think that what they're going to do is they're going to call Putin's bluff, and they're actually going to continue, and they're not only just going to send drones, they're going to send the storm shadows. And then that's when, if Putin doesn't respond, then all of this is just meaningless, and they're going to just continue to go all the way. This ultimately ends, unfortunately, in a day X event. And the next 5 to 6 weeks until the election are incredibly critical. Anything can happen within that period of time. And if it's going to happen, it's going to happen in October, once the UN General Assembly is complete. I think this is where we're going to see all sorts of attempts in order to provoke. There is two camps. People think that the United States doesn't want to fight a war on two fronts, and that may be correct. It may be that the Iranian campaign wins out with Trump. It really depends. It almost just seems like they want to have a war either way. They don't know how it's going to go, whether it's going to be Kamala or Trump, or maybe they do, but they want to make sure that no matter who wins, they have a big war ready to go in order to justify their military budgets moving forward. Because take a look at Lockheed Martin stock. Look what happened in July. Look at that bump. We're talking about a 20% increase in valuation, more than 20% increase in just the span of a few weeks. Now, I'm not sure if that was government contracts, but that was right around the time when we started to see the ramping up. We've seen the Haniyeh assassination. We've seen the war in Lebanon starting to heat up. And then we started to see this massive bombardment of Russian air depots in September here, as well as numerous other points of escalation in the last 3 months. It's just been absolutely insane. This is when the Serbian president said that in the next 3 months, we are going to see, we could potentially be on the brink of World War III. Remember that? So here we are. And what has gold done within that period of time? Well, gold has acted fairly similar. Gold has went way up. I mean, we're talking about back in July at that time, gold was around 2,400. It bottomed at about 2,353. Now it's on its way to 2,700, which is insane considering that every $100 gold goes up, it's like another, it's almost $1 trillion in terms of market cap valuation. So every, it's actually more like about $125 gold goes up. That's the entirety of Bitcoin's market cap. So in 2024 alone, the market cap of gold has 5x'd Bitcoin's entire market cap. Not the, like the entire market cap of gold is 20x Bitcoin, but just this year it's added 5x Bitcoin to give you some perspective on how insolvent the global economy actually is. So shit's getting ready to hit the fan. And Russia is not bluffing this time. I think that unfortunately, now they're going to be tested, and I don't think Vladimir Putin should have done this because now he's given everything to Zelensky that they need in order to, now they know which buttons to push in order to get a provocation from the Russians. I think what's likely is there's going to be potential shootdowns of reconnaissance planes, and you're going to see asymmetrical escalation in hybrid warfare. Attacks on undersea pipelines, critical infrastructure, things of that nature, cyber attacks possibly. There's many 0 days that I'm sure the Russians have yet to burn. I can't see them using, maybe perhaps this is Normalcy Norman. Maybe I've been smoking too much Normalcy Norman lately. And no, contrary to popular belief, I know I use a lot of marijuana footage in my videos. I had a friend give me a plant. I threw it in a raised garden bed. I didn't think anything of it. And now the thing's gigantic. And yes, it's 100% legal here. But no, I haven't smoked the stuff in years. I could because it's legal everywhere. And actually, you know, medicinal uses, you might as well grow some anyways, but maybe I'm smoking that Normalcy Norman when I say that I don't, or at least I hope they're not going to immediately respond with a nuke, even though they've clearly laid that out. And it cannot be understated or overstated how much of significance it is that now even drone strikes, which have become ubiquitous in the last month in particular, but in the last year, really, we're talking about drone strikes from Ukraine every single day. And now they've made it abundantly clear that should that happen, they're going to use nukes. That's a sign of desperation. Lukashenko today came out and he's giving a speech in what appears to be maybe some kind of military tent or something like that. And he's talking to his generals, advising them that if you want peace, prepare for war. I want to emphasize once again, although in principle, why should we justify ourselves in front of someone that we are not going to fight? We don't want to fight. All this has already been said, but they listen, but they do their job. This is significant because, of course, they're in position of nuclear weapons. This is coordinated with the Russian president's press release, who now has Belarus under their nuclear umbrella. So we're starting to see that they're shoring things up. They're getting ready to fight a major war. And I think they're just getting ready for nuclear war. Let's just hope that this is all just bluster and nuclear saber rattling. But I think this is different this time. And it's difficult to read because we don't know what the communications are on the back channels. But I do know that NATO will not stop until they get checked, until they shoot something down, until they see a mushroom cloud in the sky. They're not going to stop. They will stop the running up the escalation ladder, but what they'll do is that will be the justification to go into full-blown military mobilization, bringing back the draft and everything. They need a flashbulb event. They need Russia to use a nuclear weapon in order to justify all of the boogeyman stories that a lot of people are starting to become incredibly critical of in terms of the vilification of the Russian military campaign, when you know that Israel has killed more civilians in a much shorter period of time. In fact, in Lebanon, in one day, killing more civilians than Russia, according to NATO numbers, have killed in just this past year. So it's something worthy of note. So people aren't falling for the bullshit anymore. Now, I'm sure there's more stuff on Russia and Ukraine that we're going to have to talk about in just a moment. But it should be known that Zelensky is not waning in terms of his desire to want a peace negotiations or his letting up. And in terms of finding some sort of rapprochement between the two, it's just not going to happen. Okay, he's got another $8 billion and they're going to take it to the bank and they're going to continue to ramp things up. Now, Donald Trump yesterday came out and said this: big threats on my life by Iran. The entire U.S. military is watching and waiting. Moves were already made by Iran, but that didn't work out. But they will try again. So let me remind people that the last two guys who attempted to assassinate Trump had literally no affiliation with Iran whatsoever. Maybe some incel, woke politic influence, but largely, if anything, these were attributed to the propaganda and stochastic terrorism induced by Ukrainian propaganda, not by Iranian propaganda. So for him to buy this and make a tweet about this is incredibly naive. Why he's going along with this, well, we know. He's made a commitment to go to war with Iran. And you might think that that's a good thing. I don't see how, when the country's $36 trillion in debt, what could we possibly stand to gain by going to war with Iran, especially over these bullshit issues, which we know that we are the ones who are antagonizing in the Middle East. That's obvious, okay? But you still get these roaring cheers from the crowd when Donald Trump says he's going to bomb cities in Persia, in Iran. This is Iran, okay? This is a country that has just an immense history behind it. Whether you agree with the theocracy or the religion or their treatment of their people or not, you know, saying that you're just going to level sovereign cities is one thing. And this is why I think that, I don't know, maybe this is not going to be a popular opinion with some people, and I'm not saying that this is a vote for Kamala or anything like that, but Trump is getting up there in age. And I genuinely think that there's a part of this guy's brain that is stuck in the 80s. That whole Hulk Hogan stunt, it's like an epiphany I had. Because a lot of things he says are things that you would say when the United States was at its peak military power, which of course it's been greatly diminished in until this point, with the exception of the Air Force, which is still very formidable. And yes, they do have extreme amounts of capability and potential, not the expeditionary potential that's going to be required for Iran. So when Trump says things like this, I really don't know what's going on upstairs anymore, because this is very dangerous. Understand what's going to happen if a war with Iran starts. Not only are you going to see the price of oil skyrocket, what they're probably going to do is then nationalize the oil in the United States in order to assuage the population here, who's going to be pissed off as a result of that. But that's still going to screw the Chinese, because the Strait of Hormuz is going to be impacted when this war starts. And we really start to have to think about the logistics of how this thing is going to play out in those waterways and what the impacts on global commodity prices are going to be. Here's what he has to say.
if I were the president, I would inform the threatening country, in this case Iran, that if you do anything to harm this person, we are going to blow your largest cities and the country itself to smithereens. We're going to blow it to smithereens. You can't do that.
I mean, just think about what he's saying. Number one, like, what is he... What would justify blowing a city to smithereens? What would justify that scale of collateral damage in the first place? What would Iran have to do in order to deserve that? Are we talking about firing a salvo of missiles like they did earlier in the year when they telegraphed it well ahead of time in order to de-escalate with Israel? What could possibly justify getting in a full-blown war with Iran at this point in time? And remember who his buddy is, it's Lindsey Graham. I'm just saying this because you guys need to realize that no matter who they put in there, they have a plan to take us to World War III. If you get in a fight with Iran, Russia gets sucked into it one way or another. And so do the Chinese.
And there would be no more threats. There would be no more threats.
Well, what if Iran has nuclear weapons now? That's something we seriously have to entertain. What happened after he went moonlighting with Kim Jong-un? After that meeting that they had that was widely publicized and heralded as being a new turning point in U.S.-North Korean negotiations, all of a sudden the next year, North Korea fires more missiles than they ever have before. And now nuclear weapons stockpile in North Korea has grown exponentially. They now are in possession of somewhere between 60 to 80 nuclear weapons. Okay, at the time when Trump was in office, they maybe had a couple. So this doesn't work. This does not work anymore. This works in the year 2000 when everybody else is weak. It doesn't work now.
But right now we don't have that leadership or the necessary people, the necessary leaders. We have two people, not one.
Unless he's talking about nukes, and if they're willing to nuke Iran, then, and maybe they are, because remember what Zhirinovsky said. Zhirinovsky was the Russian pundit who made all the accurate predictions. In addition to that, he predicted that the Ukraine war would happen to the day when it actually started, and this was years before. Anyways, he predicted that some of the worst horrors that we were going to see would actually unfold in Iran. Now, right now, we are seeing the Iranian president at the United Nations surprisingly using incredibly congenial language in an attempt to assuage the United States and not aggravate the problem more. Unfortunately, I think it's so obvious what Iran is trying to do. They're trying to regain the moral high ground, or they're trying to assume the moral high ground, I should say, by not responding with a bunch of bellicose aggressive rhetoric. They're trying to, because they know what's coming. They know that if Trump gets into office, then the war with Iran is on. I mean, even if he doesn't, the war with Iran is on. It's just a matter of if it gets postponed or not. Understand, that's all this is. It's not, okay, we're not going to war with Russia now if Trump gets into office. It's simply a matter of, okay, maybe that campaign has been postponed for a little bit. And if you're Iran and you're watching and you're believing the news that the Russians want Trump to be in office, then you're sitting there scratching your head because you're saying, wait a minute, Russia is supposed to be our ally. Iran's ally. If you're Iran, you're thinking Russia is supposed to be our ally. Why are they pushing the United States, pushing this guy, pulling for this guy to be president so that he can then get in a war with us? Are they trying to start a war in the Middle East and enable us with the weapons that we might need to feel confident to wage such a war so that they can take attention away from us, right? So we can take attention away from the Russians, because they know that it's very likely that the United States is not going to be able to completely divide its attention between two fronts. That's going to be a role taken up by Europe. And the question is, going back to that project, the Russian project, is the United States wing of the Zelensky project going to do something that instigates a Russian response to the detriment of the UK, because it's going to be Europe that suffers the most. Lots of moving parts here to think about. That's what we do on this channel. We think. We don't just scare you with the news. We like to try to put things together. And I'm not saying we always do it right, but we're trying.
We don't even know who our president is right now.
That's true.
President.
That's very true. It's certainly not Joe Biden. It's the people around him. That's obvious. But he's not going to be the president either. And that's what people need to realize.
We really don't know, but we have two people, not one, that only keep looking. And when you do that, when you just look, trouble always ensues. So it's big trouble for our country. Meanwhile, we have the president of Iran in our country this week. We have large security forces guarding him, and yet they're threatening our former president and the leading candidate.
Okay, so this again, this is like the high point of bullshit. He knows it was the NAFO hysterical lunatics who went after him. He knows that, yet he's feeding into this obvious narrative, which is trying to demonize the Iranians even more, to justify going to war, to add to the body of work that NATO has been amassing to justify a massive war with Iran. It's unbelievable that he can be so disingenuous about this, and he gets all these screams like, this isn't an episode of Married with Children, but it sounds like it in the audience. I get the myriad reasons why people don't want Kamala Harris. I get that. It's just going to be, she is going to be an automaton of whoever is around her. But what I'm trying to say is this guy is not going to be any better this time around, whether you believe he was good last time or not. Now it's different. I assure you, the world is a different place. Israel is getting ready to do a ground operation in Lebanon. This is one of their generals, one of their main guys, who's talking to troops, advising them on the plan, that the decision has in fact been made. Let me see if I have my notes with respect to this somewhere. The Israeli Security Cabinet tonight is going to request that Prime Minister Netanyahu, this is not Netanyahu now, this is the actual Security Cabinet, that Netanyahu and Gallant approve a ground invasion of southern Lebanon. This supposed peace talk that the United States is trying to broker, one of the conditions that Israel has outlined, that Hezbollah pulls back to the Litani River, which is 40 kilometers, which would give Israel 40 kilometers more territory. Ultimately, that's what it would mean. They're trying to say it's going to be some sort of demilitarized zone. Hezbollah wouldn't buy that because, of course, they've seen what happened in the other annexed regions, the illegally occupied territories, according to international law. So they're not going to buy that. So there is going to be a ground campaign into southern Lebanon by hook or by crook. Unfortunately for Lebanon, the entirety of the upper echelon of the command structure inside Hezbollah's ranks has been destroyed. So there's some people trying to spin this as a good thing. Okay, and this is why I don't understand the level of cope with some people. You don't spin that as a good thing. This is Darwin at work. There is no reality when getting fresh new blood and new ideas, as some people are have the audacity to claim, that that is a win. And you have, you know, people saying that Israel has been defeated, and it's like, where? They're completely annihilating Hezbollah in pretty much every way. Now, again, we don't know what is happening on the other side of the fence because it's completely illegal to broadcast any attack on, especially in the northern parts, especially if it's on a military base. That is off limits, even though we know that it's very likely that Hezbollah has been having some successful hits on certain military targets inside Israel. We'll just never know because they're not going to talk about it. They're always going to pretend, they're going to play God mode and make everybody believe that they can't be touched, but Hezbollah knows otherwise. But now, you know, they're getting ready to do a ground invasion, and the United States can pretend that it doesn't support this idea when they're the ones who are providing all of the military equipment. And if they're not providing the military equipment, they're providing the funding in order for them to be able to use their own military equipment in that campaign. So that's what's going down on that front. Zelensky says that Russia is using Chinese satellites to photograph nuclear plants ahead of possible strikes. Maybe they still are of the belief that the Russians don't have high enough resolution satellites to do this on their own. Now, the tricky thing here is that this could very well be the case, because it's possible that this is where Ukraine is hiding a lot of their own military equipment, using it as a shield, as are the Russians in the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant. What's gold at? 26,8350. Unfrickin' believable. Unbelievable. Take a look at this. People said I was crazy. Man claims exploding Samsung earbuds made his girlfriend deaf. Now, what we know about lithium ion batteries explosions, in fact, there was one in Canada, a massive one, that caused a lockdown. Large cloud of toxic smoke drifted around neighborhoods. A shipping container containing lithium batteries burned for like a day, and it caused all kinds of toxic smoke, so they had to put places on lockdown. We know that these are ticking time bombs that can be controlled remotely and can be weaponized. So the Russians, the Chinese, and everybody right now is looking at their electronics in a different way, because now there's been another dimension added to World War III that extend beyond mere cyber and EMP and the myriad other asymmetrical tactics. This is one more that we have to be concerned about. We did a in-depth Blue Strip video probably 6 months or so ago about the different types of asymmetrical warfare. And there are probably, there's dozens of different types, from subterranean warfare to attacks on various waterways, attacks on critical infrastructure, blowing up dams. I mean, blowing up a dam could be one of the most destructive things that you could do. And to get the most return on your investment in terms of casualties and destruction of infrastructure, even more so than a nuclear weapon. Most people don't realize that. If you live in a floodplain or somewhere there's terraforming and there's a dam, that if that dam blew, you know, you would have your life swept away. Well, that's something to also factor in. This is Ugladar right now in thermal vision, being completely carpet bombed, completely leveled. This is something that you don't see. You don't even see this in Gaza. I mean, this is the first time, and you can tell it's legit because there's a fly walking around here. So this is a Russian watching this. This is insane. These don't look like cluster munitions. This just looks like a massive artillery barrage, and they're just lighting the entire place up. It's absolutely insane. In Israel, you see bigger explosions, arguably. This is just so spread out. I don't think I've seen an image like this at any time during the war, where they've just been lighting it up like that. And all of these are like mini little mushroom clouds. So yeah, Ukraine is definitely getting pushed back. China just did an intercontinental ballistic missile test, the first one since 1980. That's saying something. They know that Day X is approaching. Zelensky's getting $8 billion more dollars. And again, Russia continues to ramp things up. And I should say NATO continues to ramp things up. Let me just see if there's anything else that I need to remember here. I probably shouldn't have that RT on there for too long, because, of course, RT has now been banned by YouTube, by Meta, by numerous countries throughout Europe. The Iron Curtain has been pulled between us once again. So these proposed revisions of Russia, they lower the nuclear threshold and clearly state the conditions under which Russia can proceed to employ atomic weapons, as receipt of reliable information about a massive launch of air and space attack weapons and their crossing into their state border. So not even the actual attack, but the receipt of reliable information about said attack, which of course they could theoretically just make up. Putin clarified that this means strategic and tactical aircraft, cruise missiles, so tactical aircraft, any type of aircraft, F-16s, cruise missiles, drones, hypersonic, and other aircraft. The mention of drones here is especially significant as Ukraine has repeatedly launched mass UAV attacks against Russian strategic bases. So now they're saying no more. And the question is, are they going to continue? And even if the West tries to force Zelensky's hand and say, don't shoot any more drones, what's to stop them from continuing to escalate so to get a reaction from the Russians? Okay, I think that's about all we need to talk about today. I've been building a massive off-grid solar system this week. So we have been grinding. Today it was 33 degrees Celsius. That is unheard of in this neck of the woods this late in the year. Mind you, we didn't get snow last year until January, so it's looking like it could be another one of those types of years. But we're trying to make hay while the sun's shining, and that's what you need to do right now. You need to be using every day to just get shit done. I've done more on the homestead this year than I think a lot of people end up doing, and it's not because I'm special. It's just because I grind. And you know, the thing is, I could still even do a lot more. Praxis Prepper made a video probably a couple months ago, and he was talking about, you know, how oftentimes we never get to that point where we're reaching our true full potential with things. In fact, he was quoting me in that video. Now I'm quoting him. But it's true, because it reminded me that, you know, oftentimes when we say, well, you know, I can only accomplish so much. If you work long hours and you are focused and you are not being distracted, you can do way more than what is typical or what is normal. And I did that this year, and I was only probably putting in 50%, to be really honest. But my 50% might be slightly different because I'm a little crazy when it comes to getting things done. Right now, this is, I'm on hour, what are we on? Hour 14 today of work, okay? So, but you got to have that work ethic now, because it's going to be a much better return on your investment of time if you do it now than if you do it later. Here we go. Gold still going up. I think we're going to touch 2,700 pretty soon. That's not financial advice. That's just a barometer for social chaos. Guys, get prepped now while the getting is still good, because the election is coming, and anything that's going to happen is likely going to happen between now and then. And then after that, the potential for bad things to happen is only going to increase. So we are in for a wild, bumpy ride. So just keep on prepping, my friends. Take care. See you tomorrow.